prayer was the thing that I just started to do because I watched my grandmother do it. And so I've seen her. We came from poverty and seen the Lord bless her with a new home. And I seen God, you know, do so many things in her life. And I would hear her in the opposite room. She was two doors down from me on the right-hand side. And I would hear her in the room praying. I remember her going in the room and praying. And that was the first time I got on my knees. And the Lord started answering those prayers. That marked me for prayer.
Hey, everybody, it's Nathan. Welcome to the Best View in Town podcast, where we try to help you find a more hope-filled perspective, tap into your purpose, and find encouragement in whatever you're walking through. I hope you're having a great day. So grateful that you joined today. This is the second episode in season three. Last week, we got started after a bit of a hiatus, and so excited to have Nikita with me last week. If you missed that, definitely go catch that, where we talked about wrestling with what's next. And today, I've got my good brother, Derek Hawkins, on the podcast with me. And we talk about some incredible things that have really challenged and inspired me, one of which I'll talk a bit more about after the conversation at the end of this episode. But he shares a little bit of the origins of that. But then, you know, prayer is an important part of any person of faith's life. I do believe that God uniquely gifts and challenges certain people to be able to impart the importance of prayer, and I think Derek is one of those people. So he talks about where that comes from, how that was shaped through his life story, and how God's using him as he gets ready to do some pretty exciting things that he does get a chance to talk about in today's episode. So I want to encourage you to tune in and hear what that's all about. You know, I've told you as the season goes along, we're going to try to do one fun fact on the front end of each episode. And this week's fun fact is that my wife and I, just after moving to North Carolina in 2004, not having much money at all. Matter of fact, it was a completely miraculous thing that I think we're going to talk about later on in this season of the podcast. But we actually were sent to Hollywood and were on America's Funniest Home Videos. And we came in third place, which won us $2,000 when we were broke. I mean, baroque. So for those of you that follow us on Patreon and you help support the show, I'm actually going to drop a link on the Patreon page to the video clip of us at America's Funniest Home Videos back in 2004. So definitely a reason to go check out patreon.com/NathanWesleySmith. Listen, today we're going to look through the kaleidoscope, and instead of focusing on what's broken, we're going to see how beautiful life can be when you hold it up to the light of God's truth. And we're going to hear from Derek Hawkins and his story on how God marked him for prayer. Well, I'm sitting down with my buddy Derek Hawkins. You go by Hawk?
Man, I go by everything.
I mean, I've heard people call you Hawk.
Hawk all the time. D-Hawk.
D-Hawk.
PD.
Yeah, just I all hear the PD names a lot, too.
Yeah, so
because it's Pastor Derek Hawkins.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
And man, I just, man, first of all, I love me some Derek Hawkins.
Dude, likewise.
Bro, you have been a brother, and I'm so grateful that we're getting a chance to sit down and get a little bit of your story. But let's real quick. So catch people up. They haven't met Derek Hawkins. Yeah. They don't know D-Hawk, right? And so give me a little bit about where you're from, what you do. We've obviously been serving on staff at the Refuge as pastors together for a season, but that's not always what you've done. Right. And there's things in your heart. So catch me up, man. Where you're from? Give me a little bit of your story.
Man, I'm so grateful, number one, to be a part of the Best View in Town with my good friend, Pastor Nathan Smith. And it's an amazing podcast that I've been listening and watching and gleaning from afar. A little bit about me. I'm born and raised in a small town right outside of Kannapolis, if you guys are aware of that, or Charlotte, if you guys are familiar with that. City called Salisbury, North Carolina. It's a population of maybe 33,000 people. And so I was raised in Salisbury, North Carolina, with my dad, who was in the military, but with my grandmother, which is my mom's mother.
Okay.
So she raised me.
Yep.
Went to a school called North Florian High School. If you guys are listening and you're any Cavaliers, shout out to all my Cavalier fans. And so went to St. Augustine's College, and now am finishing up a degree at Carolina Christian College, and so I'm excited about that and that journey of just being raised in a small town. So many great things about it, but like anybody else, when I graduated from school and went to college, I wanted to get as far from it as I possibly could. So, man, that's a little bit about where I'm from and what led me to here. So then in 2007, I married a beautiful wife by the name of Rashonda Hawkins, and we have 6 children, 2 grandsons. Can you believe that?
I'm not even old enough to be a granddad, but I'm Paw Paw now.
So don't laugh at me. But we're enjoying this season of life. We just celebrated 16 years of marriage.
Come on.
On July the 7th. And so it's been amazing. We were campus pastors at our Greensboro location.
Yep.
Before it was our Greensboro location, it was House of Refuge Ministries led by Bishop and Pastor Allen. And I got there and succeeded them and took over the church. We merged back in 2016, which allowed me to meet Pastor Jay, the amazing staff and leadership of the Refuge Church. And I've been faithfully serving in the vision for now, being connected close to 8 years.
That's unbelievable, that dude. Yeah, that's amazing. Unbelievable. I remember when we first met, first of all, your hair was really short and you had your little round glasses because you were doing it big. I mean, I remember, man, you came in and I can say this, Derek, I've gotten a chance to do life with you. We've traveled together. You've been to my house. We've worked together. There's such a genuine humility on you. You are an incredible leader. That is just the truth. And I've seen you're a confident person who is also very teachable. And sometimes those two things don't always seem to go together.
Wow.
In all truth. Yeah. A lot of times people can be very confident in their abilities, and so therefore they don't listen as much. But man, I have just seen both of those qualities in your life. Where does that come from?
Man, it comes from my dad and my grandmother. Just my dad was in the military,
mm-hmm.
and just always gave me that no matter what you see, don't think you know more than what you know. And my grandmother used to tell me this all the time. I used to hate when she told me this. Saying you had to crawl before you walk.
Yeah.
And so I was always full of ambitions and, you know, had this massive dream. Man, I had an imaginary friend when I was a kid. So my mind has always been like running around. But she would always just like center me into, man, you have to be teachable. You have to be humble. You know, never forget where you come from. Because sometimes you might have to cross the same bridge. So you never want to burn it. And so I just try to be teachable in every area of my life. And it's also through the relationship, my relationship with Holy Spirit.
I love it, man. Well, it's evidenced in just really anyone who has time with you, they'll notice these things. And really, even just on a very practical level, you mentioned it, you're back in school.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about this for a second. Okay. You've got 6 kids.
6 kids. 1 deceased. Yeah.
2 grandkids.
Correct.
And then working here at the Refuge, yeah. pastoring, leading, going back to school.
Yes.
Your wife is in school.
Right.
She's working. I mean, come on.
I think we lost our minds at some point. If I'm honest, like, well, we just laid in a bed one night. Like, hey, we're going to do everything all at once. And I don't know what we were thinking, man. But just really felt the stirring of the Lord. My wife and I, when we kind of hit our 15-year anniversary, we just set some goals about how we wanted to live our life.
Yeah.
Well, and my wife is extremely smart, so much smarter than me, and knew she had a passion to go back.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to support her. Oftentimes, as pastors, we can have spouses that they faithfully support everything that we do, but it's not necessarily the way that they want to live out their lives.
Sure.
So I just wanted to be, you know, the supportive husband to my wife,
yeah.
who was extremely smart,
yeah.
but knew she found the passion of what she wanted to do. I've always wanted to go back and finish some things
yeah.
for me, but yeah. it had to be in the season. And honestly, I went back. I was going before my grandmother had 2 strokes back to back. And I just literally committed my time to serve her until the day that she died.
Yeah.
And now she passed. It'll be a year, August the 11th, 2022. And so just felt like it was the right time to go back and finish it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just speaks, again, to the teachability, just your desire for that. And I really love that. Something I was reminded of as I was bringing that up is you've done something. I don't know how many years you've done it,
yeah.
but you have inspired me, and my family is doing this now. And that is, I think you call it family retreat.
Family retreat, man.
Okay. So people are listening right now. Now they're leaning in. They're leaning in and they're saying, okay,
yeah.
what is family retreat?
Wow.
Bro, when you shared this with me, I'm not joking. Dude, I was like, It made me, you ever watch a commercial and it's for food, especially if you're on a fast, right? And so you're fasting and then the food commercial comes up, and man, I don't know how they do it. They make that hamburger look
like it will set you free.
Absolutely. So when you said this, the best way I know how to explain it, when you started talking about family retreat, it was like my mouth started watering and I thought, God, I want that from my family. And I'm doing it.
Man, that's awesome.
It's on the calendar.
That is awesome.
And it's because Derek Hawkins challenged me. What is family retreat?
Family retreat.
How did that start? Ooh. Talk about that.
Man, family retreat is not a vacation. I had to teach my youngest son, Jalen, that when we first went. And to be honest, growing up in the culture I grew up in, we didn't have a lot of vacations. Mm-hmm. And so for the first maybe 7-8 years of our marriage, my wife and I never went on a vacation. And so we just set some parameters in our time of rest and Sabbath with the Lord. And then the Lord began to deal with me about pouring into my family and just saying, hey, man, your family needs to be poured into, and I want you to do it. So my wife and I, family retreat is something that all of our kids look forward to at the end of every year. We take a deliberate pause as a family. We take a Selah as a family, and we go away, and we spend 5 to 6 days, and I tell them, hey, I don't want you to do anything but rest. I mean, it's not vacation. It is rest. It is an opportunity for you to dream. So if they're married, which some of our older kids are married, they get a chance to cast vision, pray over their spouses, encourage their spouses. Every single morning we wake up, we eat breakfast together as a family. My wife and I do devotionals over our kids every day, and we have a theme that we go into it. So it could be the year belief or the year faith, and I cast a vision. And sometimes I've given each of them specialized notes about how I saw them in a season in their life that they're in, or we just pray over them, lay hands on them, prophesy over them, speak to their destinies and their future about what we see, and we just rest as a family. We do it, and it's been one of the most life-changing things for my family.
When did it start?
It started back in 2018.
Okay.
2018, and we just started actually going for like 3 days.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're just going to take a retreat.
But what was the catalyst? I mean, catalyst, all of a sudden, you're like you said, it's not just vacation.
Right.
So what would you say, man, was the thing that said, this is what we're supposed to do?
I just think it was just a download from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about a little bit about prayer, you know, my prayer life, but it was just in prayer. So I'll fast forward. Every Monday would be a fast day for my family. So I wouldn't fast for the church. I would literally just fast for my family, my wife and my kids, or their spouses. And I've seen literally my two oldest children get married. And that was the catalyst for the more moment of me saying, okay, I've seen this work. What will happen if we just center time around devoted to them, teaching my younger children about the admonition of the Lord and how to pursue Jesus? And that just came from a place of fasting every Monday for years.
Yep.
Over them. And then that just like, hey, what happens if I get them all together and we just talk about the goodness of the Lord? So it came from that. In 2018, we started it. And man, every year, the faithfulness of God has shown. I mean, encounters in the presence of God. Some of our devotions we can't get through because we're weeping. We've seen restoration, healing. My heart's been healed. Their hearts have been healed. Mm. It's been the most amazing thing that I would challenge every male leader of a family that might be listening to this podcast, wherever you watch it from, whatever time you're going back to listen to this, if you have an opportunity to set intentional time with your family, it will be the greatest gift that you can give your wife and your children.
And so, Derek, did you grow up in a house that did that? Is that where the pattern came from for you?
No pattern at all. We could not. I mean, if we got a road trip for a day, that was great.
Yeah.
You know? It just wasn't a custom of our household.
Right.
The rhythm wasn't there. And my dad did the best that he could in trying to do it. My grandmother didn't have a lot of money. She was on fixed income.
Yep.
So, you know, our vacation was going to Burger King and actually getting a kid's meal or McDonald's. That was a vacation for us.
That was a big thing.
That was a big thing. So it wasn't a pattern. But to be honest, when I came on staff at the Refuge, I saw so many men, if I'm honest, I've never seen faithfulness in a marriage. I didn't see it until I came to the Refuge.
Wow.
So I was around men like you and Pastor Jay and just people like Russ Straub that I saw and just started admiring those guys and seeing that. then it made me want to say, hey, man, I think I can do this too. Yeah. So the pattern of seeing that really was not formulated in my early years, my more formative years. But now I begin to get a little bit older, seeing the patterns around, the Lord began to give me a vision of what could happen for my family and myself. So I always say this, one of the greatest gifts that God can give you is the gift of exposure, because what you see, you can never unsee.
Right.
And so now I've seen it. I've been around people that travel, do things with you. Man, you just took your family around the whole world, man. Well, and so I saw that. I'm like, man, I can do it. Maybe not on the same level, but engage them on the level that I can and pour into my family.
Come on. And I ask that question because, you know, Derek, it'd be easy someone to listen to this podcast and say, oh, well, you do that. You probably, that's how your mom and dad were. And that's how, and I think it's helpful when people realize, no, it's not always handed to us. Maybe you didn't have that growing up, but what do you want to create for your family? You have the authority and power to do that. And like you just said, you just start where you are.
That's it.
And maybe for some, it is going to Burger King.
That's it.
Do it together.
That's it.
Then go together. But then let's dream and ask the Lord to expand it. And I'm telling you, man, for your kind words, you took it to a level I had not taken it. And I'm telling you, it made me jealous in a healthy way.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I want that. And we're doing it. So,
man,
I'm just telling
awesome.
You, by the time this podcast airs, it may have already happened.
Come on.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
I love it.
So I love that. And, you know, Derek, you touched it, but if anyone that knows you in any sort of way, which I got to say, you do a great job of just getting out there and letting people know. I have this love-hate relationship, which is more hate on social media and whatever else. But you do such a great job of just letting your voice be out there, leveraging it.
Right.
And so people that are connected to you would know that prayer is a topic that comes up a lot for you, not just when you're sharing publicly, but again, I do life with you.
Right.
Prayer really does mark your life. And so let's talk about that for a second because, you know, Derek, some people would hear prayer and they've got, okay, well, I mean, I pray for my food.
Right.
And I mean, when the pastor prays, I close my eyes. I mean, I'm not even trying to belittle that, but that may be everything
that may be
what they understand of prayer.
Right.
So when I say it marks your life, first of all, do you agree with that? Second, what is that and where does that come from?
Man, that's a really, really great question. I think there's a difference between praying and intercession. I believe that we're all called to pray,
okay,
you know, but intercession, we talk about Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, you know, he talks about him seeking for someone to stand in the gap, but he couldn't find anyone so that he would not have to destroy the land. And for me, prayer was the thing that I just started to do because I watched my grandmother do it. I grew up, my grandmother, my grandfather was a truck driver, so now most of the week he wasn't home. He would come by maybe on a Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
So a lot of the week it was just my grandmother and I that we were there. We would go to church. She was sickly, so she had rheumatoid arthritis. So for years I had to help bathe her, fix her clothes, and I would hear her crying out to the Lord in her pain and just trusting God, and I watched the Lord heal her body.
Come on.
And so I've seen her. We came from poverty and seen the Lord bless her with a new home. And I seen God, you know, do so many things in her life. And I would hear her in the opposite room. She was two doors down from me on the right-hand side. Mm. And I would hear her in the room praying. And I knew that sometimes she would be struggling to just have enough strength in her body to get to the car. But she cried out to the Lord. And one night, I remember this. I don't know why this picture is so vivid. I remember her going in the room and praying, and that was the first time I got on my knees because I had so many questions. God, why is my mom? My mom didn't raise me. Why is my mom not here? My dad's in the military.
Yeah.
That transition. And it was the first night that I got on my knees to pray, and the Lord started answering those prayers. That marked me for prayer. But then the burden, once I got marked for prayer, was an even greater burden for intercession. Because it wasn't just my personal needs that I needed to be met. I started feeling the burden and the responsibility for other people.
Yeah.
And I started crying out for them. because I knew what it was like for a kid not to have their parents or want this picture of what you thought family. You know, I used to think I was a Cosby kid, man, growing up. You know, you wanted to see your dad be a doctor, your mom be a lawyer, and have all these siblings, house full of joy.
Yep.
And it just wasn't that for me. But I also had to have a revelation that God was giving me moments with my grandmother that would help mark my future.
Yeah.
And so that came, and that's how I was introduced to prayer and fell in love with it. So last thing, our oldest daughter, Ronette, we call her, aka Rudy, her mom became a spiritual mom to me. And every morning she would wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning and sit me at a table. They would make me go into houses with them and pray all day.
Wow.
She died unexpectedly. But I knew she was preparing me for that. So every day, 365 days, the Lord told me to pray. I would go to the church and I would pray for hours. Even the day that she died, I did not miss going to the church to pray. So God gave me a discipline in the area of prayer that has changed my life. And I'm dependent on hearing the voice of the Lord.
Man, it's incredible, Derek. And I've seen it. And I've seen the fruit in it. Yeah. You've held prayer events.
Yes.
And what would you say what is the purpose of an encounter, an event like that? Wow. What are you trying to accomplish? What's that about?
So, you know, I always teach people in our culture, I learned this from Pastor John Hanna, prayer has a sound. In the African-American culture of prayer services, they were rooted in times where slavery. And so a lot of slaves couldn't read. They couldn't read scripture. They couldn't memorize scripture. So there were certain times that slave masters would allow them to read the text. So they were in slavery. And so their sound, which would be music or hymns that we begin to sing that were African-American spirituals, they were crying out for God to deliver them. So there was a sound that would go before them as a sound to say, God, no, we need you to hear us. We can't deliver ourselves. So when we gather people in the room, we had a prayer conference that started in the pandemic. The Lord came to me in a dream. He says, if you would call intercessors together, I would relent. That's the beginning of COVID, 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We had over 100,000 people watch a prayer call on live. We had people all around the world.
I remember you doing
tap
this.
Tap in and watch it. Well, then 2021, the Lord's like, have it in person, 2022. So I did my first live prayer event, and over 800 people came in the building just to pray.
So
we just want people to encounter not just prayer, but just advocating for it. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's something that you need God to do, because we know that, you know, God is the God. He's Bel Perazim. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. He's the breaker. And so we cry out to God in that way, because we know that there's something where two or three are together. Scripture says that he would be in the midst of us. And we just know that there's power when other believers come together and pray and make a sound of agreement. How powerful is that? So my goal is to get people in the room to experience and encounter the presence of God that they may not can encounter on their own.
Sure. Yeah. And I think it goes back to that issue of exposure that you just talked about, right? If maybe it's hard to explain it to someone, but if they can see it.
If you can see it.
If they can experience it, then it's like, I know what you think I mean when I say prayer.
Right.
Let me bring you into an environment where you can experience what I mean when I say prayer. You know, Derek, some people would look at that and say, that's a waste of time. You could be more productive.
Yeah.
You could be studying the scriptures more. Right, you could call people. You could be visiting people at the hospital.
Absolutely.
What would you say to that mentality?
I think there's a balance of both. There's a longing and a desperation, I believe, that we as believers need to just become more dependent on the presence of God and the leading of God's Spirit. And so for me, prayer is a means of communicating to understand God's heart and his heart for what he desires to do on the earth. And the only way that I can do that is to steel myself alone to be in tune. And it's not just something that I made up. Scripture shows us how Jesus would take periods of time to get alone,
yes,
to hear the heart of the Father. It's all throughout Scripture. And so what I do is I've seen Christ, you know, in Scripture do the same thing. And I want to mimic, if is there anybody, I love great inspirational podcasts and people, but if it's something that I can do, I want to mimic the life of Jesus.
Yes.
And he stilled himself away. Even in death, the death of John, he goes and steals himself away to get a moment with the Lord, to redirect, to hear God. Okay, man, this is my friend. I'm broken. John just died. What do? I steal myself away to get along with God, to see God now. How do you want me to respond to that?
Yeah.
So it's not just a response to the scripture, which I lean on.
Sure.
It's everything in my life, but it's also getting familiar with the voice of the Lord. And that Isaiah 30 and 21, it's the voice that's behind us, telling us, this is the way, walk therein. That Isaiah 30, 21 voice, I want to hear that voice so that it keeps me from getting ahead of God.
Come on.
That I don't make mistakes that I don't have to go back and repent for,
or redo
over and say, God, man, I didn't seek you. And so I think it's not just, okay, God, I love you, but I'm consulting you to be a part of every single thing that I do in my life, because I want your heart to be in every single thing that I do. So prayer is not a service to me. It's me being with God, a level of intimacy that I get a chance to hear him for myself and discern his voice in every situation that I do. I don't want to make a misstep without him.
I love it. And so for the person that's listening right now, and they're starting to get that hunger for what you're talking about, but they don't exactly know what to do.
Yeah.
What would be a good first step for them in this type of prayer you're talking about?
Man, I just think start where you are. I told you when I was a little kid, I just knelt down by the bed in my room, and I didn't have a lot of vocabulary, didn't know the names of God or, you know, even the Lord's Prayer at that time, but that's a great place to start. But I did have a hunger for God to come in my situation because I was in dire need of him. It was dark. And so prayer for me was more dependency on God over my own ability. So I would just say start in the simplicity of just talking with God as I talk to a friend.
Yes.
I don't go to God with this Greek version of her, you know, King James version of conversation. You know, I just go to him like, God, man, I love you. Man, I'm in desperate need of your spirit. I need your guidance. And I start in communication. I always start in adoration. God, you're good. You're worthy. You're holy. Because that's what the scripture teaches us. I mean, that's what the Lord's prayer teaches us.
Yeah.
Hallowed be your name.
Yeah.
So God, I just lift up your name. I exalt your name.
Yeah.
You're worthy, God.
Yeah.
I invite him. So it's never about my needs more than it is about who he is to me.
Come on.
And so I invite him into it by blessing his name, by magnifying, saying, God, how worthy is your name? And I want to put reverence on that before I ask him anything.
I love it.
Hallowed is your name.
Yeah.
Holy, set apart is your name.
Yeah.
And then I invite him into the room. And then that leads me to confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. So we call it the Acts model of prayer. That's what I believe.
I love it, man. It's a great model. And I've led a group of guys for about 8 years now, every week in that exact model. It's not the way to pray,
right,
but it's a way
it's
to pray.
It's a way to pray, yeah.
And it helps you. And I think, Derek, sometimes when we don't start with adoring God and recognizing who he is, we have a tendency to magnify our problems, and our God feels so small because our problems seem so big.
Absolutely.
But when we magnify the Lord, Psalm 34 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. I always think of literally grabbing a magnifying glass and just like shining it up to the sky towards the Lord. Rather than magnifying the challenge that's in front of me and, oh, it's a really big problem. And gosh, man, all hell broke loose. And we have a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's such a powerful model. You talked about how it leads you into hearing God's voice. And I think part of that for you in this season of your life is, man, the Lord has put a challenge in your heart and you're marching towards something really special.
Yeah.
And it's called Promise City. So tell us what that's all about.
Man, I tell you, you have been, I'm trying not to get emotional on this, but it's different when people are your friends and they become a brother and then they become a mentor. Pastor Nathan Smith has been instrumental in helping me to discern the voice of God by just listening. I think sometimes when we think about discerning the voice of God and what he's calling us to, we think that we have to have answers immediately. But I feel like over time through prayer and discerning the voice of God, he'll give you answers in unexpected times. because it should never align to your will. It's always about his will. So in September 2021, I went and talked to my pastor. I said, hey, I feel like the Lord is calling me to do something else. And I said, one thing I know for sure, this is how I know. I don't know what's next, but I know that there's something in this side of me that's coming to an end. As far as being a campus pastor, yeah. I know I've been faithfully serving the Greensboro campus 13 years and loved it. And we helped rebuild it through a storm, a tornado, and then the pandemic, which all of us experienced. But just felt like maybe the Lord was calling us to something different. That's something different. The Lord dealt with me in September 2021. He gave me a few words. I did not call you to celebrity Christianity. Never forget it. Wrecked my life. And for me, it was just... there's a certain stigma that even in our minds that we feel like success in God is this. It equates to this, if I'm honest.
Sure.
So that was a personal revelation for me. In my hotel room, the Lord spoke to me. He says, you've never consulted the will of God for your life. You've always consulted the opinions of man over the voice of God.
Wow.
I've called you and your wife to plant a church. And so I never asked him. Actually, it was a guy who was like, I'll never plant a church. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you. I'm not doing it. I don't care what you said. Not going to happen. So never tell God what you won't do.
There you go.
That's the key thing. And then here's another thing. I said, I will never plant a church in my hometown. So, and man, just the walk of the Lord and just processing me to that. Long story short, my wife and I, in January of 2024, we're going to be planting a church called Primus City Church. And the reason that I have an opportunity to do that is for two instrumental voices, Pastor Jay Stewart, Pastor Nathan Smith, Melanie Stewart, and the Refuge Church, who have helped me process this vision, man. If you guys don't know our story, we had a campus in Salisbury that closed down in March. And Pastor Nathan was one of the guys that led that charge of helping walk through a tough season with the wisdom of the Lord in that. And so... while we're walking through that, the Lord gives me a burden for my hometown. I preach my grandmother's funeral on August the 22nd. On August the 23rd, the global CEO of United Way, who is spirit-filled, Angela Williams, spirit-filled, comes to my house and says, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown, but that will not be the case for you.
Wow.
I'm like, well, what hometown is she talking about? Because I'm going somewhere far from Salisbury.
I'm not staying here.
I am not staying here. So I just let it sit. And through the course of the next few months, the Lord just began to grow a burden for me. And then things begin to unfold. And so for somebody that's listening, like, man, how do I discern God's storyline? For me, it was going back to wise counsel, but never allowing counsel to be stronger than God's voice, helping you to discern the season and what he's calling. And he called my wife and I to plant Primus City Church. My grandmother had always said, Derek, I can't understand why you drive 55 minutes to go to church in Greensboro. And Jessica Kuntz said this to me. She said, how in the world can the Lord have you jump over every city except your own hometown? Mm. And so my wife and I get the amazing privilege of planting with the blessing of our pastors, Primus City Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I'm so excited about what God's doing.
I'm excited for you, man. And I know that I've watched the process of you bathe it in prayer. I've watched you grapple with it, struggle with it, fight it, try to run away from it. And I've watched you submit it. And I've watched you humbly be patient. And I'm just telling you, it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So, Derek, on this season of The Best View in Town, I'm trying to end each conversation with two questions. Okay. You know, a big part of what I hope to do through these conversations, one is introduce people to some really special folks, and you are definitely one of those special people. But also, you know, I have a desire to help people shift their focus and get their perspective to be more hope-filled. Life is heavy, life is hard, and it can make us put our head down. Yeah. And I think the Lord wants to be the lifter of our heads and help us look. And so, you know, what is one thing that helps you gain perspective when you feel overwhelmed or challenged? How do you get a better view?
Man, I was talking about this the other night. I was talking to my wife. I have to constantly remind myself of the faithfulness of God every day, that he's good no matter the season, no matter the trial. And I have to oftentimes center myself because sometimes in life, anxiety will come. It can overwhelm us to make it, like you say, we magnify the problem over the goodness of God. And so how I do that is just reminding ourselves of the testimonies of the Lord. I think that's one thing that the people of the Israelites would do, is just reminding themselves of the testimonies of what God had done in previous generations. So if I look back over my life, I can literally see that God has been faithful in moments that I hadn't always been faithful. And so I recenter myself through scripture, through prayer, and through the word of God, and just remember the faithfulness of God in previous seasons where he has brought you out, where he's delivered you, where he's spoken a word to you. And that's what I do to always keep myself realigned when moments of drift come, and it comes to every believer,
sure.
No matter where we are in our walks with God.
No, it's so true. The second question is this: what do you want the people closest to you to say about you when you're gone?
That I lived a life that was pleasing to God in private more than in public. I want my family to speak greater than the crowd. And I want it to be said of me. But I don't want to be like Elijah, to have one more miracle left in me. I want to die empty. I want it to be said of me, like I said about David, that he fulfilled the purposes of God for his generation. And that's what I wanted to be said about me. And when my kids and grandkids speak of me, I want them to speak of me as the people that I hear when I hear you talk about instrumental people in your life, or people that when I see that are fathers in the faith. I want my family to speak about me the same way that they speak about great men and women of God who make sacrifices so that the gospel would be spread to my family. I want generations to know the reasons that we know God is because a man by the name of Derek Hawkins was willing to sacrifice in private so that we can encounter God for eternity.
Well, bro, I believe it, and I'm grateful for you. Dude, thank you for taking the time to share. Thank you more than anything else just for being my friend.
Bro, I love you, man. I love you and Tamzi. Two of the greatest people you'll ever meet in life.
Man, just so awesome. I'm so grateful that Derek was willing to spend some time with us and share some of these stories and share the exciting news about what's going to be happening with Promise City Church. I've got links in the show notes. And that's just on your favorite platform that you're listening to this podcast on. You can scroll down below the image, and there's some text there that gives you some ideas about the show, some links, and it gives you a link to Promise City Church that is going to be planting and launching in January of 24, and then some articles that I've written that I think may help kind of further this conversation. I love that he shared what he shared, and something he talked about in this episode is family retreat, and I referenced it at the very beginning. That by the time this episode aired, our family would have already done it. And that is the truth. Matter of fact, just a couple of weeks after Derek and I sat down to record this conversation, my wife and I put together something we had never done before. We've been on plenty of vacations with our family, but this was an opportunity for us to be intentional and purposeful. And we went and spent 3 days focused with our family. We had evening worship times together. We had morning devotions together that each of our kids took a time to share, and that was really cool. And then in those evenings, on two of the evenings, we actually brought in guest speakers, friends of our families that surprised our kids, just to pour into our family. We did family workouts together. We did bike rides. It was like nothing we'd ever experienced before because it was a good time, but it was done with a focused intentionality on time with Jesus, and I'm forever grateful for the inspiration that Derek gave to our family to do that. So if you want more information about that, learn more about Family Retreat, how we pulled that off, shoot me an email, info@thebestviewintown.com. You can share this on your favorite platforms, get the word out, help us out. Go to the website, thebestviewintown.com. You can see past episodes, and just know God is for you today. So am I. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of difficulty so that we can truly have the best view from wherever we're standing.